الرحمن الرحيم الذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على are with me inshallah you're all settled inshallah yes sallu ala muhammad wa ala muhammad please thank you You know, I've always been thoroughly impressed by many of the initiatives that this community starts. And this solar well idea is quite phenomenal. And one that I really hope and pray that all of you get to 60,000 items. The reality is that Islam has always been, since day number one, a green religion. When the Holy Prophet would prepare his soldiers to go to war, outside of Mecca or defend themselves, he would always tell them that when you get to another person's area or land, do not cut down their trees, don't kill their livestock, preserve their waters. You're there for a certain purpose. You're not there to destroy their environment. And so Islam has always been about the green movement, and it's encouraging to see that these things are happening here as well. Tell you that other communities have tried to establish this and they get rejected or laughed at by their own members. So I would just like to sort of add my drop in there as well. If you can please do your best to bring your own plates from home. And more importantly is that don't assume that there's no food when you go back. So take as much as you want to eat for the first round. Don't assume you'll have 3 or 4 rounds worth of food and then throw the rest away. If food runs out, it's okay. I'm sure all of you have a freezer at home and a fridge at home that, mashallah, is full as well. But as Muhammad said very beautifully, it is the month of Ramadan. It's also a month of that we sort of manage our consumption a little bit and the overall idea of israf. So let's support the eco team, inshallah, please. Let's make sure that we are, following the path of the Prophet of Allah and this very green deen of ours. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Our discussion for the past 5 nights has been around the beauty of being anonymous. And strictly and only in the world of spirituality and the world of good deeds. I know that in an online world, you are never truly anonymous. But in the world of deeds, you can be if you choose to be. Our attempt has been for us to realize that there is an entity that we believe in who sees everything that we do. He's hadir, he's nadir. He's present and he's watching. And not only watching the deeds that we shouldn't be doing, but also watching the deeds that we quietly do where nobody knows about it but us. And his promises that I have presented for all of you the past 5 nights is that that deed that you think nobody saw will not go wasted. La yadhi'u ajr al-muhsinin, Surah Yusuf says. That no ajr or no act of a good doer will ever go wasted. Now, as I promised you on the last night, and tonight is my last night, don't look so excited. We have to identify that, am I like this or not? Do I have all the symptoms inside of me as somebody who really loves to hear the sound of my own voice, who really loves to verbalize my resume to anyone who has 2 ears? Am I an individual who needs a little bit of help when it comes to this addiction? And I want to address that as my concluding lecture tonight, inshallah, with your help. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. So I really want all of you to go and travel with me on this introspective journey. It's funny that in my preparation for tonight's lecture and talking about, and we'll talk about the symptoms of those who have this addiction, I think I identified 4 or 5 inside of me. So the dua is that whatever I'm preaching to all of you, that I actually act on it myself, inshallah. and not be those. The Quran says, why do you say that which you do not do yourself? Let's first start off by understanding that we live in a very now and wow culture. Now and wow. Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. A very simple hadith that I know my AV guys inshallah will put up on the screen. He says, innahu man amila linnasi kana thawabuhu ala nas. It's a very simple statement. The one who acts and does any amal, any deeds, linnasi, for the people, meaning precisely to please them, to wow them, to gain their attention, for them to sit there and give you all sorts of accolades. The only purpose of doing any deed for Islam is for others. Kana thawabuhu ala nas. The reward for that amal is with the people. But وَمَنْ عَمِلَ لِلَّهِ, the one who works for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَانَ ثَوَابُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, the reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I mentioned to you last night a very simple example of the glass of water, right? The hadith from our Holy Prophet. I mentioned to you the reward that a wife has when she brings a glass of water to her thirsty husband. One glass of water. Now, if my wife brought me a glass of water when I was thirsty, without me asking for it, out of the goodness of her heart, the most she'll get out of me is thank you, that's very kind of you, very sweet of you. That's about it. I'm not gonna drape her in gold and diamonds because she brought me a glass of water. I'm not, right? I shouldn't do that. Yeah. It's a glass of water, right? That's the most she'll get out of me. I'll drink the water, I'll forget about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when that water is given to this husband, cities are built in Jannah in her name. So now the choice is ours. The choice can either be linnas or lillah. You'll get the reward, right? You'll get acknowledgement either way. You will get the acknowledgement when you tell people what you've done. They will acknowledge you. They may even give you all sorts of accolades and compliments and really boost your ego or boost my ego. And also, given the fact that Allah, of course, is just, if you did it for him, he will reward you, like I talked about yesterday, shaitan, etc., etc. The difference is the timing. The difference is the timing. Because we live in a very instantly gratifying world, the thawab that I get from the people is instant. The thawab I get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be delayed. Right? The city is built, but it's in Jannah. And that's a long time from now. I want to be acknowledged right now. I want to be approved right now. And if I do it for the people, they'll give me a reflex reaction about how great I am. That's what I want. I want that boost now. And this sort of speaks to the culture we live in, of a now and wow culture. You know, these couples that unfortunately get divorced within 90 days sometimes of the nikah, or 6 months into the marriage, things fall apart. Sometimes the issue is that they only saw each other in the now and wow lens. Right? That excitement that you have building towards the wedding, that period where you're not quite husband and wife, but you're still mahram to each other. The text messages, the phone calls, right? Your heart's racing and your palms are sweaty and you're all giggly and you're enjoying each other's company. Then of course the marriage happens and it's all excitement and the honeymoon happens and you're on cloud nine. You know, I married Prince Charming. I married the best woman I could, blah, blah, blah. And you're on a high and you're skipping through the meadows and you're playing peekaboo and whatever you guys do. Whatever you do, man. It's all great. And then things sort of kind of dwindle and go back to normal. The congratulations messages are sort of now stopping, right? We've seen the photo album 10 times already. People have stopped talking about the wedding of the century. And the now and wow is sort of fizzling, right? That honeymoon love, no doubt, as intensive as it is, it's also the most temporary love. Like a spark, it comes fast, then it dies out. And the problem is the lack of wisdom sometimes, not my topic, don't worry. The lack of wisdom is the idea that they have limited love to the now and the wow. And my elders will tell me, and I'll tell you, I'm almost 20 years married now, that there are faces of love and phases of love and symptoms of love. Sometimes spending a whole day with your spouse running errands, grabbing a coffee, going to Costco, dropping this off, picking that up, getting gas, coming home after 3 hours is a beautiful day. It's not now, I mean, it's not wow, but it's a great day. That also is love. So we have to train ourselves to understand that there is a delayed system in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the classic instant versus delayed system is there. So first symptom is, am I a now and wow person? That's the first question I have for all of you and myself. Do I need everything to happen right now? Am I able to be a little bit patient? Do I know this is an investment? I say this because, like I said last night, and I got a lot of messages about last night's majlis. The question is that if you're waiting, let's say, for example, your entire life to be acknowledged by those around you, and you're waiting and you're waiting, it's been 15, 20, 25 years, he never tells me that he appreciates me, she never says anything about how hard I work for her, right? This and that, then you have to understand that you have to believe in a delayed system. You may never get that accolades that you want from Allah in this world. And that's the reality of it. Sometimes you will. And sometimes it is waiting for you in the hereafter. But the training is that it's going to be there. It's impossible that you do something good for God and it be ignored. We've established that throughout the five lights. So are you a now and wow person? First question. The second reality is that this is an addiction for some people. The addiction of approval. There are some people that work very hard in ensuring everybody is happy with them. And we have to figure out, am I like that or not? And there are symptoms now. Let's go through three or four symptoms very quickly and then go through a little bit of the psychology of this approval addiction, we call it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. So again, I want all of you to kind of travel with me and ask yourself the hard questions. Maybe go home on your way home and ask your spouse or ask your kids or ask your parents, am I what was described tonight on the minbar? Do I have these symptoms or not? And really check inside of you. Because I'll tell you one thing, it's very tiring and exhausting to live like this, to constantly look to have people approve you, validate you, stamp you for approval, accept you, right? Compliment you, and living your life like that. It's exhausting, it's daunting sometimes. The freedom that you have in releasing yourself of that is sometimes beautiful. It's a weight that we carry. The moment that some people feel like person A or person B are not happy with them, they can't function. So identifying those symptoms are crucial. The first symptom is that you don't hold an opinion on any matter. When somebody in a conversation is asking you for your own personal opinion on matter A or matter B, you freeze. Look around like you're all awkward. And you tell yourself, it doesn't matter, what is it that you want to hear from me? In your mind, you're telling yourself that. What opinion do you think that they want to hear from you? And give them that opinion. Whether or not you believe in that or not, it doesn't matter. So you think people will say, I don't know, whatever you guys think, I'm good. Right? The inability for self-advocacy is a huge issue. To advocate for yourself is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. to sometimes say that if five of us agree on one thing, but I don't, I'm still will voice my opinion and say, look, we can go if you want to. I'd rather go here, but because I don't want to be that person, we'll go ahead and do this. But I'm going to go ahead and voice myself and advocate for myself and say that, yes, I'd prefer that we do this. That's a very difficult thing to do. Especially if you don't have self-confidence. That's number one. So ask yourself, in a group discussion, do I even say two words or not? There are some people who speak out when everyone's gone, and they make beautiful points. And sometimes I want to shake them and say, look, why didn't you say that in our discussion? Sometimes when I go visit classrooms and we have conversations upstairs, there's one or two or three kids, the three kids that dominate that conversation. They're very, very, they're very confident. Then there are always two or three kids that are brilliant, intelligent, religious, spiritual, but they're quiet. They freeze. They tell me beforehand, please say it, don't ask me to say a word. Afterwards, on my way out, they'll follow me and make these brilliant points, A, B, and C. I'm like, Baba, you should have said that in the class. No. I'll say it to you only. The first thing is, do I advocate for myself or not? Number two, people who have the addiction of approval, they never say no. Now, you'll sit there and say, look, Sid, what's wrong with me saying yes to everything? And don't get me wrong. If you have the intention, if you have the need to help, and you can do it within your limit, bismillah. I'm talking about those people who put themselves in extreme difficulty by taking on a task or responsibility, but they won't say no to a person, completely out of fear that they may be disappointed with me. So yeah, no problem, I'll do it, no worries. I'll pick them up, I'll drop that off, I'll carry this, I'll buy this, I'll drop this off. Meanwhile, they can't. They don't have a car, they have a migraine, for example, they have a sick child, they themselves are not healthy, but the person feels great, right? Oh, you're the best, you're an angel, oh my God, thank you so much, you're a lifesaver, and that's what you want. You want that moment, that spark, where they're impressed by you, and they leave, and the spark is gone. Now you have this long list of things that you can't handle. Islam doesn't give us that ijazat, I'm sorry. You may not agree with me. Islam doesn't say you're a doormat. There are some people who will make themselves zaleel in front of others, degraded in front of others, just so they're not upset or disappointed with me. And that's not what the deen says. Nowhere does the deen say drown yourself to save others from drowning. Nowhere does the deen say that you put yourself in anxiety, but make sure you free the one from anxiety. You go into poverty, but make sure they are someone who is now needless. When the Ahlul Bayt gave, they gave, but not everything. They gave half, they gave a quarter. They always had for them and their families. Especially in the issues of families. If I had more time, I'd talk about that. Especially in the issues of families, I really believe that we have Sila Rahim a little bit confused. As much as we've talked about the idea of ensuring that you strengthen ties with your family, no doubt about that. It adds years to your life. That hadith is absolutely there. 30 extra years to your life if you are good with your family. But what does good with your family mean? Are there limits to that? Are there boundaries to that? We can't just take one hadith and just say, okay, this is it. No, there's other ahadiths that talk about the fact the bare minimum of sila rahim is salamu alaykum, kya hale, everything all right, and you move on. Nowhere does the deen, any member of the Ahlul Bayt, tell us, make sure that you are a doormat for people to step on, make you feel awkward, pinching comments, passive aggressive comments. You are the butt of their jokes every single time. They pick on you, they choose you, they abuse you, they assume you're okay with things, they advocate on your behalf. Don't worry, he'll do it. Just call him, tell him I told you, and he'll do it. Yeah, bro, your family said you'll do it. Okay. Sure. So what do? Do we cut ties? We can't cut ties. There's no qatr rahm happening at all. That's where boundaries come in. Boundaries come in. And boundaries are important. A person who is moving towards approval addiction is somebody who doesn't know their own boundaries when it comes to other people. They believe that I'm doing this for God, so let this person in front of me, it could be your blood relative, say whatever they want to me. I'll just take it and be quiet. I'll laugh it off like everybody else will. But meanwhile, I'm hurt inside. And you have other people, why do you let them do that to you? They're family, that's why. That's what Sidr Rahim is. It's not what Sidr Rahim is. If Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ, I've given you respect. وَلَقَدْ كَرَمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَا, I've honored you as a human being. What right do you have to take that self-honor away from you? And all of it just so they're not what? They're not angry with me, or they don't like me, or for a moment now, they're disappointed with me. You know, growing up with my parents, sometimes, you know, I'd rather they tell me I'm flat out angry with you than use the D word, disappointed. Disappointed is tough. That's like, you know, the silent treatment for 3 days, where you beg your mom, Ami kusto boliye, say something to me, I'm sorry I messed up. I'd rather you take your chappal and hit me than you be quiet with me. Right? I'd rather you do that. And we are so fearful of anybody, a stranger, a family, a spouse, myself, be disappointed with us, we will sit there and we will degrade ourselves. I'm sorry. If you are someone like that, if you have individuals who are triggers for you, you're invited to a family gathering and you secretly find out, is so-and-so going to be there? Yes, they will. The pit in your stomach starts from 4 p.m. You have to get yourself ready. Breathing exercises. I can do this. I can be in the same room as them. That's not the deen. I'm sorry. If at that moment you're not up to being there, don't be there. And hopefully your spouse and your family does what? Recognizes that and supports that inside of you. Khair, I'm getting off topic here. The idea here is that we want to make sure we are advocating for ourselves, setting boundaries around those that we have to set boundaries around, cutting off those who we should and we can cut off. We're not allowed to have toxicity inside of our life. If you have toxic people inside your life who don't need to be there, slowly cut that cord. Maintain your akhlaq, but you need to cut that out. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. And the final one is a low self-esteem. And that will segue into my last point tonight. There's a fine line. I have said this as far as I know for the past 10, 15 years. Wherever I go, I have said this statement. I said it here on this minbar as well. Islam places a very fine, barik, thin line between self-worship and self-worth. It's a bright red light for self-worship. It's a green bright light for self-worth. And sometimes we think that taqwa means to destroy yourself, to stomp on your successes, to not acknowledge your victories. I mentioned a few nights ago, if you've done something good for Allah between you and Allah, and this moment of pride comes about, internal happiness, you feel like you attained a victory. Or a moment where you could have sinned and you didn't. And that moment passes and you sit there and you whisper alhamdulillah to yourself. That's not self-worship. That's actually seeing yourself as worthy enough to do what? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've blurred those lines, guys, a little bit. We've blurred those lines. In our fear of self-worship, we've destroyed the self altogether. Even if I do something good and someone comes and acknowledges it, it's just between me and Allah. And they find out, I'll do my best to what? To bring that down two levels. Yeah, but everyone does that. Yeah, but it's about time. I don't know about that. You know, just pray that, you know, just this idea. And I understand the idea of humility and being humble. I get all that. But there are some people who believe that Allah wants from us as the pious ones to stomp on our worth. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says, the one who doesn't have qadar shinasi of themselves. It's a beautiful Farsi Urdu term. Qadar shinasi, understand your value. He doesn't have that, she doesn't have that, they will become halak in this world, destroyed in this world. How others will come and begin to take over and begin to do what? Control you. And you'll be a victim of a narcissist, right? They'll actually begin to speak on your behalf. And when you talk back a little bit, just a little bit, and begin to advocate, their whole world collapses. Wait a second. They can talk back. You've never spoken back to me. So you've begun to find your voice. That I am somebody. You can't just come in and start talking to me like that. I am somebody. And you slowly realize that whether people approve or not, my worth is my worth. And that stems from a deeper psychological need that we have, the need to be visible. And let me speak about that as I close out my lecture. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. You see, we have this need to be madhkur, to be remembered. It's all innate inside every single one of us. Old, young, doesn't matter, male, female. We all have a need to be visible. The worst thing you could do to anybody is make them feel invisible. You have a young child at home who's the youngest of four, youngest of three, right? He's the smallest child. Sabse chota woh hai, he's the youngest one. He wants to add to a family conversation. What do? You shush him. Tum chote ho, just be quiet, just listen. Badon ke saamne, don't talk. Shush, 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 shush. He's 17, shushed. He's 19, shushed. In the process, he becomes invisible to all of you. And this need to be visible, acknowledged, is a strong need inside every single human being. A person walks into this hall, says salam to your entire circle, and walks right past you. Does that for 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row, you grab him. Do you not see me? Did I upset you? Is something wrong? No, bro, why? Bro, you said salam to everybody 3 times in a row. Didn't even look at me. That need for acknowledgement is there. And when that's not fulfilled properly, then we go out and we force the issue. Now I want every stranger to sit there and acknowledge me, acknowledge me, acknowledge me. Look, this is what I did. Can you acknowledge me? Yeah, this is what I did. And we, like pamphlets, we hand out our deeds. Hoping that somebody will say, wow, Masha, you're a true mu'min. Say, yes, I got acknowledged. Now I'm going from invisible to visible. All of it stems from the fact that I actually believe that I've never been acknowledged. And that's what I want to sort of break inside of me first, and maybe all of you, this idol that I believe I've never been acknowledged. Let's come to the Quran. The first opening verse of Surah Dahr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ هِنَا مِنَ الدَّهَرْ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Okay, on the screen. There came a time, there was a moment, that the insan was something that was not worth mentioning. Now this verse is a beautiful verse attached to a beautiful surah. But Allah is reminding all of us there was a moment where you weren't there. The sun was there, the moon was there, the angels were there, the jinnat were there. Everything was functioning without you. Then inni ja'alun fil ardi khalifa. I announced to the angels, I want to create this vicegerent on this earth. I made the insan. And the moment I made the insan, I made everything else bow down to this insan. And that was Allah making us madhkur in the heavens. Acknowledged and remembered in the heavens. From day number one of our creation, He's done nothing but acknowledge us, remember us. There's a companion of our fifth Imam, Muhammad ibn Muslim. I call him a super heavyweight companion. In the discussion on Tawbah, And may God elevate these companions. They would ask questions that sometimes you and I would ask if we were there at that time. But talking about tawbah, and the typical, when you sin, go back to Allah. Okay. And then he asked a follow-up question to our fifth imam. He said, what if the same sin that I just asked for forgiveness, I keep repeating every single day? What do I do then, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, to our fifth imam? The fifth imam says, if you keep repeating the sin, keep repeating the tawbah. Allah will not get tired of forgiving you if you don't get tired of asking him. Is that not acknowledgement? Is that not the idea that the moment you speak, Allah is there? Ujibu da'wati da'i idha da'an, Surah Baqarah says. I will answer the call of the da'i, of the caller, idha da'an. Right? If you want to talk to somebody who's a little bit higher up, they'll give you a window, right? Monday, 4 to 6 p.m., Tuesday, 1 to 3, Friday, between this time. That's all the time I have. If you can make it, great. If not, we'll reschedule, no problem. I can't give you an open window that whenever you call me, I'm going to pick up. I can't promise that. And the higher up you go, the more difficult it is to get them on the phone or get that block of time. God has it reversed. That when you're ready to speak to me, I'm ready to answer your call. Idha da'an means whenever you call, I will answer your call. Others may make us invisible. Allah has never made us invisible. Allah has never not acknowledged us. He's made us madhkood before you and I even step foot in this earth. So again, why not go through that tawhidi lens? Where maybe this insan doesn't know my qadr. Maybe this person doesn't understand me. Maybe they get joy in these pinching comments towards me. But I know I belong to that creator, that when I open my musalla and I pray to him and tears roll down my face, not only do I think I'll get a jawab, I expect an answer. Again, hadith says that when you are done asking for your dua from Allah, have so much yaqeen that when you're done folding the musalla, your dua has been already been answered. Is that yaqeen inside of us or not? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. So I ask all of you humbly, trust in the fact that if you've been inspired to do good, do that good, do your best to keep it within you. Don't have this obsession or addiction now to sit there and plaster it all over social media. Or tell everybody, let's say, for example. You can tell the camera to stay home once in a while. Because after a while, you'll have that lizzat, that pleasure, that dhawq, that taste of the fact that no matter what you say, it's not compared to the ridayat and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our amal, inshallah, the month of Ramadan. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us realize that no good deed of mine will ever go wasted, inshallah. Forgive our sins, elevate our parents, bless our marhumin, inshallah. And finally, everything that we talk about, we do for the preparation of our last hujjat and last imam. We ask you, Allah, to make us worthy of his zuhur, inshallah. If we are doing anything to block that zuhur or slow it down, please forgive us and give us tawfiq to not repeat those sins. Thank you very much, one and all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.